I read an article recently in Christianity Today, and it was in one of those little sections where it's actually more of a little humor than it is more than anything. Several years ago, there was a history professor at Princeton University who was grading midterms right before spring break. And he came across this one test paper, and he looked down at it, and the student had scribbled something on it. And he looked closer at it and closer. And you know what the student wrote? He says, "I just don't know anything about this." He said, "It's a complete mystery." Said, "Only God knows the answer to this question. And enjoy your week off for spring break." Well, the prof wrote in reply, "God passes you fail, but have a good spring break anyway." And so, likewise, Matthew 28 through 16 through 20, which Savannah read, is a perplexing puzzle to some Christians, and many churches would earn an F through the ignorance of it. Numerous sermons that are preached in this passage refer to it as the Great Commission. Christ bequeathed it to the apostles as a legacy which continues to be valid to this day. Christ gave it to them and to us, for it makes the Great Commission, unlike other philosophies which various religions teach. What makes Christ's commission different from Muhammad, Buddha, and Confucius is the formula, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Many Christians aren't aware of the Great Commission's importance for the church in the 21st century. This is an imperative appeal of Christ to his followers to move forward into a new direction. If we are expected to live off the fumes of the past and nostalgia, then we are mistaken. Each generation needs to replow what has been done in previous eras, and so we have to do it all over again. You say, "Well, that's a cumbersome task." No, it isn't, if we are faithful and obedient to our Lord. But it says, in essence, that the church isn't to become captive to the status quo by being so complacent or even nonchalant toward the world around us. The issue facing the church today is indifference. It requires a multiplication initiative. Or should we be content with us four and no more? You know, a friend of mine recently asked me to be a reference for him. A church was talking to him, and he said, "I'm going to give you the link to the church's worship on Facebook." Not Facebook, but not Yahoo. What's the other one? Help me out. Google, yeah. On Google. Well, anyway, I looked on that, and I watched the service. I'm going to tell you, there's more life down at Whidden Funeral Home than they were in that church. It was dead as a doornail. I'm not talking about just stilted. I'm talking about it was, even the pianists and the organists were just as docile as you could be, and they would do the readings, and it was not very enthusiastic. And the sermon, if the preacher looked up once, the interim that is, I was surprised. Now, I don't like to be critical of other churches because, boy, I make mistakes every Sunday. But what I'm saying is that a lot of times we tend to forget to invite the Holy Spirit into our church worship. And I think that's what happened. As individuals, we have been blessed by God with grace. Grace defines us as people of God who should have a yearning that others may know and receive the abundant eternal life provided by God. When minor issues are more important than the passion for more people in the church, then something is seriously wrong. No person can be taken for granted. No two people are alike, and neither do they join the church in the same way. When was the last time you prayed that a neighbor or a friend or a family member would attend church and come to church on Sundays? Speaking about unique ways in which a person comes to church, the Reverend Dr. James Brower, he lived to be 97 years old, wrote in a book that one time he was coming home after an evening meeting, board meeting at his church. He was minister at one of the largest American Baptist churches, not Southern, but American Baptist churches in Los Angeles. So he was driving down the street and he saw somebody staggering. Well, evidently he probably shouldn't have been drinking what he'd been drinking, but he saw him and he knew the fellow. He was the husband of a church member in his congregation. So Dr. Brower, as he was driving, stopped near the man, and he got out of his automobile and said hello to the inebriated man. The man said hello and asked, "Reverend, what are you doing here at this time of night?" And Dr. Brower told him that he was going to take him home to his own house. And they pulled up in front of the man's home, and Dr. Brower walked up to the front door and rang the bell. Then he said, "Bill, now I've brought you home. I'm going to leave you now." The man grabbed Dr. Brower and said, "Don't go yet. You wait until my wife comes to the door. I want her to see who I've been out with tonight." Ironically, and let me say this, and believe it or not, after Bill sobered up, the following Sunday, he attended church with his wife, made a profession of faith, later eventually joined the church, and it was baptized. It was all because of the non-judgmental kindness of Reverend Brower. Talk about a case of unplanned evangelism in a hilarious way. But there's something I want to point out here. A lot of times we see people, they may do things, say things, think things that we don't. And guess what? You remember there was a t-shirt years ago called "Here Come the Judge"? Well, we become the judge. We start judging people because of their shortcomings. I don't know about you, but we all have shortcomings. The Bible even says we all fall short of the glory of God every day. If you have a neighbor, friend, relative, or whatever it is, if they have an issue or problem, don't hit them over the head with a Bible. Be kind and loving to them and encourage them. And maybe perhaps you will say, "Hey, I'd like for you to attend church with me." It's not difficult. You need to pray about it. Prayer is the most important thing. It gives you the strength and courage to do so. A lot of people try to do it cold turkey and they end up, incinerating because they just fall to pieces. But remember, everybody out there deserves a chance, and they deserve God's grace. And we have to remember that because, as I said, we're not perfect ourselves. So if you see somebody, you say somebody like what Dr. Brower saw, an inebriated person, he didn't go up and say, "You shouldn't be drinking or going to the bar." He didn't even go there. He just took the man, accepted him where he was, and worked with him from there. That is what we are to do. You know, the Great Commission isn't reserved exclusively for missionaries or preachers either. Most people are not bashful about endorsing political candidates. But why are we so shy about endorsing our Savior through conversation and verbalization of our faith? Think about that. Yeah, we're busy putting bumper stickers on our car, putting signs in our yard saying, "I'm supporting so-and-so." But do we really have any give lip service to our Lord? Most of us don't. Why? Well, we're afraid that it might be embarrassing or something. You know, I would be embarrassed to put some signs in my yard for some of the candidates, wouldn't you? But what about our Lord Jesus Christ? He's the one that we should endorse. A difficult question to answer about when and where and why we don't do it. The silent majority rules, and we witness untold tragedies in our world which could have been averted. And guess what? If we'd only prayed for the people. We know so many people out here, and you know, you probably know more people than I do, but that doesn't excuse you from not praying for them. And maybe God will give you the opportunity to share your faith and invite them to come to church. It's not a big deal to do so. If it had not been for the early church's compassion outreach, those of us here would probably not be worshiping God in church at this moment. The Great Commission calls us to extend a cordial invitation to friends, strangers, and neighbors, and so that they may know that God loves them. It is by God's mercy and gracious invitation for everyone to behold His glory in the personhood of Jesus Christ and to find the world overflowing with eternal hope. Let us pray. O Lord and Heavenly Father, we know that as Your children, we do fall short. But when we see a stranger, a friend, a relative, or whomever it may be, passes, let us not look our nose down at them, but realize that but for Your grace, we could be there too. Help us to be more empathetic and compassionate on those in need and those who fall short of Your glory. Perhaps we are even speaking about ourselves. Help us every day, O Lord, to be a better person than we were the day before. Help us, O God, in our struggles. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.